So we'll be able to hopefully bring out some things that we'll be able to see and really take a real good hard look at. Now, what I want you to do tonight as we teach this lesson, and as we get in this lesson, I'm going to paint you a picture. And I'm hoping that you'll be able to see this picture that good Lord has really allowed me to see. And I'm hoping that I can really, truly convey it to you in the manner that the good Lord as He has touched my heart with it. Now, there's a lot here. Like I said, let me give you just a little bit of background on Habakkuk. Now, Habakkuk, this minor prophet, is a little bit different in the sense of the way the prophecy is laid out here. It's not like a normal prophecy. And I'll kind of explain that as we look at a little bit of background. Nothing tells us about Habakkuk's personal life. If you study Habakkuk or some of them, it don't even, all the books that I looked up, I couldn't find anything about even the years when he wrote this book. There was a lot of different high ranges in it, so the best thing for me to do is just say, I don't know. So as we look at this, it's amazing at this. But also, the book is really unusual in the strictest sense that it's not like a regular prophecy. It's more similar to the book of Jonah. And what I mean by that is, Jonah actually was writing about his personal experiences with the good Lord. Habakkuk is doing the same thing. Even though he's prophesying about his experiences that he has went through in this book of Habakkuk that he wrote. But also the theme of Habakkuk is actually faith. And you're going to find, if you'll read on over, you'll find it says, the just shall live by faith. You're going to find three other times that it's written in the Bible, but it's in the New Testament where the just shall live by faith. One is Romans 8, 1 and 17, Galatians 3 and 11, Hebrews 10 and 38. So the theme of this is faith, but it's laid out so differently. And I think that's what attracted my attention to it as I was reading and studying this. Now, let's go ahead and read through verse 4, and then we'll teach from that point. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Now, I want you to take notice that God showed him something. And that's why tonight as we look at this, I want us to look at what God is trying to show us as a church, as a people, and what Habakkuk was really seeing. Okay? O Lord, how long shall I cry? Thou wilt not hear. Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance, for spoiling and violence are before me? And there are that raises up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slack, and judgment doeth never go forth, for the wicked doeth compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. Now, he brought out several things here that he's seen. Number one, I want you to stop. First thing he's seen that Habakkuk had was a burden. Now, I want you to take a look at that. He had a burden that God showed him that he was able to really see. And it was on Habakkuk pretty strong as we get into this, especially in verse 2. You'll see that he really cried out with a loud voice. But what is a burden? Now, I wrote some things down, and as we look at this, a burden is a heavy load or a weight. The prophets often spoke of their message as a burden. Now, I'm going to use some examples for a burden. Let's take our pastor for an example. He has a burden for Liberty Baptist Church, always on it. He worries about it. He's concerned about it. He's always wanting to get closer to the good Lord. Now, The deacons, they have burdens. They have responsibilities. Teachers have a burden to teach the Word of God in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Everybody in this church should have a burden. Now, we should have a burden for our country. We should have a burden for Liberty Baptist Church. I'm talking about everybody. I'm not talking about just the leaders or the people that are in charge. Now, as we look at this and we get in, and we're going to be talking about a burden down the road here as we really look at this, it's kind of amazing and we look at it. Next of all, I want you to know, what's a cry? Have you ever had any kind of pain and you cry out real loud and you pray unto God as hard as you can pray, and just say you're in your prayer closet and you're burdened down with something and you're crying out to God. You're crying out loud because you have a burden. And Habakkuk had a burden for his country. Habakkuk had a burden for his people, God's people, what they were doing, the direction they were going in. Everything that he had, he really had a burden. He was crying out with a loud voice. Next of all, I want you to take notice, he seen violence. What is violence? Violence is the use of physical force with the intent to violate or destroy. The Greek word translated to violent force applies to a disorderly mob. Now, we can see that, I think, a good bit in our country. Also, he says, thou wilt not save. Habakkuk has cried and cried and cried here, and yet God hadn't answered him yet. And he says, God, where are you? You're not moving. Why aren't you doing something? As we look at this, and that was kind of amazing at that, because as the last election, as we look at it, I think the church and the Christians across America prayed more than they ever have. But what are we doing now? We have slacked off. We got content again. Because we won the election, we think it's over. The battle has just begun. Raging, and that's just the way it is. Next of all, iniquity, unrighteousness, lawlessness. The Bible often uses the word to describe evil, wickedness. Iniquity can suggest different types of evil, like moral, legal, depravity, sin. And that's what Habakkuk was seeing, and that's what we see this day and age. Then there's grievances. Grievances is something that one thinks is unjust, feels hurt, and is angry about. In other words, somebody has hurt me. You get upset. You get bent out of shape. You have a grievance against that person. Now, we have a lot of that in our churches this day and age. We have a lot of that in the world. Everybody thinks about SELF. And as we get into this, you're going to see more about that too. Then there's strife, quarrel, means quarreling or fighting. Contention is something that we argue for. Contention is something that you argue for the right that you think you're right for. Now, I want to ask you a question. What does the Bible say that we see in our own eyes? Everybody thinks they're right in their own eyes. What you and I have to follow is not what I think. It's what not what you think. It's what the Word of God says. Now, that's what we have to do. Doesn't matter what I say. Doesn't matter what I think. It's what God has to say about the matter. Now, as we look at this, I want us to, fixing to really get in the lesson. That's more of a background. I tell you, God really kind of worked on me on this one. The prophet here is permitted to see a great social and national evil of the Jews, unchecked, unencouraged, that the evil is growing in multitude and in number. He laments and cries out to God for the godly people of his nation as we look at this. Also, whose burden is it? Is it Habakkuk's? Or was it the good Lord giving Habakkuk the burden? Habakkuk saw it. God gave it to him. And as we look at this, what did this burden here particularly mean, this word burden here particularly mean in the book of Habakkuk? Actually, it means judgment. So Habakkuk was praying for judgment against all of these people. He wanted God to do something about it. He wanted God to move in a mighty way and correct the problem. Now, when we look at this, we all want that to a certain degree. Now, I'm going to say something, and I'm glad I'm not the good Lord, and I'll be the first one to tell you. I know what I would do to some people. I would zap them. They'd be gone. But where would I be? I wouldn't be here. I'd be in hell. So when you pray for judgment, are we really praying for the right thing? Now, I want you to think about this, because as we get into this, buddy, we need to really take heed to this, because there's so much here. Now, I want to go to verse 4 because this opens up this lesson. Verse 4. Therefore, the law is slack, and judgment doeth never go forth. For the wicked doeth compass about the righteous, and therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Now, as you look at this, we see that as Habakkuk did, that the law here, that they had basically done away with the law. They was not keeping the law of God. They was not keeping what the law that God had given them at that particular time. And we know what the law is. If you go back and study Leviticus, and let's just use the Ten Commandments. We think of them terms more than Leviticus as a whole. The law, as we look at this. Now, and he said they had wrong judgment. See, he was complaining to God about there was no justice. Nothing was really, really taking place. The law always, listen to me, always become paralyzed in a permissive society. And let's take a look at our own land just for a second here as we look at this. Our country is permissive. Our laws are slack. They have gone down the road. The permissive society redefines sin. Now, I want to bring out several things that has been redefined. Number one, let's talk about a drunkard. What is he called today? He's called an alcoholic. It's been redefined. Not only that, they now say that it's a disease to be a drunkard. Well, my definition, to me, and their definition, is two different things. Now, I'm going to point out something here. Now, I've had back surgery. We've had bone problems in my family. I have inherited that. Heart trouble. That is a disease. Something I had no control over. Something I didn't ask for, but it's something that I have, okay? Because it's in our DNA. Now, I am going to say this about an alcoholic or a drunkard. Some people's DNA, for an example, they have a tendency to get hooked easier on it than other people. But I never thought you could buy a disease. It just, they had a choice. They have a choice to become one or not. And that's it. So a drunkard has been defined. What's a thief? It's been defined as a kleptomaniac. What does that word mean? I had to look it up as a country boy if you don't know the truth. I had an idea of it. I didn't know the whole thing. So I wanted to look at it. It's a persistent neurotic impulse to steal without an economic motive. In other words, they can't help it. Yeah, that's what I said. All right, next is a murderer. Now, why do they call him a victim of society? Got quiet there then, but that's just what they do. All right, now, what about an adulterer? It's just simply having an affair. No more, no less. That's what people say today. Now, let's talk about sexual sins just for a minute. Now, I don't think there's any... Well, I'm not going to use some words, so I'll just make sure. Let's look at it this way. I've been in some churches, and I'll just be very plain with you. I've been in several churches, and I know a lot of teenage girls. Now, I'm talking about... I'm not talking about black churches. I'm talking about white churches where most people there go that are white. That a lot of the teenage girls gets pregnant. I mean, you know, nice families. They go to church every Sunday. Know some that just got out of church, went to college, got pregnant. But yet they were supposed to be Christians. Now, why is that? Why is it that we have such a academic problem with sexual sins in our country? Number one, and I'll just be up front, we use TV. Now, the reason I say that, no matter what show that comes on just about, somebody is simply sleeping with somebody. Or they intend it where you can see that. All right? What about homosexuality or sodomy? It's an alternative lifestyle. It's not a sin. They have a right to choose their own orientation, sexual orientation. That ain't what God says about it. That ain't what God says about it. All right. Now, what about criminals? What about the death penalty? Let's look at our laws. A lot of states have abolished the death penalty. But what about the ones that even have the death penalty? How long does it take? 15 to 30 years before somebody gets executed. Now, we have no laws. Now, I want to ask you another question. Where did our country base their laws on? In the beginning. Where at? Somebody, come on. The Bible, God's Word. What He has to say about it. Not what I say, not what you say. It's what God has to say about it. But let me ask you another question. Where's God? Uh-oh. Where'd he go? What's wrong with the churches? What's happened to the churches? What's really taken place in the churches? Do you really have a burden for Liberty Baptist Church? It's getting quiet. Come on, let's just bring it home. Now, how many people do we have on Sunday morning? Why do we have so many people on Sunday morning? And we're going to bring out a thing at the end of this lesson. I'm going to challenge you for something. How many people do we have on Sunday night? How many people do we have on Wednesday night compared to Sunday morning? Now, every church is like this. It's not just Liberty. I hadn't went to a church yet that wouldn't like this. I hadn't found one. But why is it that way? Why is it that Sunday school is put on a back burner? Now, I'll just be honest with you. I'm prejudiced when it comes to Sunday school. That's where my heart is. That's where I've always worked. It's what God has given me to do. And I thank Him for it. And I have a burden to see it grow, to see God move, to watch God work. You know, He can work in Sunday school just like He does Sunday morning. Only us, you and me, hold Him back. Nobody else. But do you see what Habakkuk really seen? Also, you're going to find in our country, our judges get bribed. They turn people loose early. They reduce sentences. They do all of these things. There's drug trafficking. There's prostitution. There's child abuse. Yes. Political corruption. Yes, sir. Yes. Habakkuk came to the conclusion that the wicked doeth compass about the righteousness. Therefore, wrong judgment, he thought God was proceeding out. Why is God's law so important? Why are the Ten Commandments, just the Ten Commandments, so important? Now, I want to share this with you real quick. Now, us Baptists say we're not under the law. Well, we're not in the sense that we have to go to heaven by keeping the law. Now, God did not do away with the law. He didn't do away with the Ten Commandments. He finished the law where you and I could be saved by His blood and keep the law the best that we can. Which we cannot, because we are an imperfect people. Even being saved, there's not a day that I don't go by that I don't sin. That I don't fall short of God's glory. My thoughts, anger, sometimes fussing with my wife. We've been married 53 years. But we still have our days. I don't care. We still do. But we're still together. And that's what it's all about. Now, there's some other things I want you to think about. I want you to go to Timothy. Third chapter. Second Timothy. Chapter 3. I think I'll have time to read all of these, but I'm going to bring out 9 of these. There are 19 words or phrases here in this chapter that has been pinned down for our good. First of all, I want you to take notice, verse 2 or verse 1, perilous times. That means dangerous times. You can't even go out and eat at night hardly without taking a gun in this day and age. Can't hardly go anywhere. Anniston, Alabama is one of the, I think it's the third dangerous city in the state of Alabama. It don't matter where you go. Rabbit Town, which is right above White Plains, out in the country. This is out in rural. Yep. 2 people got killed about a month ago. 3 people went in and beat them and killed them. It's just everywhere you turn. Dangerous times, perilous times. But also, for men shall be lovers of their own self. All right, what did I say earlier? Most people think of their own self before they do anybody else. Now, I want to ask you a question. What does the good Lord tell you and I to do about the brethren? Who's to come first? You or your brother? How do we present to them first? We are, it's a commandment that we love the brethren. You might not like me, but you better love me. And that's God's word. And that's what I'm talking about. Love the brethren. But how many times do people get stabbed in the back? How many times do people gossip? How many times do people run their mouth that are supposed to be Christians? Self. This world right now thinks they're more entitled. Entitlement to anything. And I'm amazed at that. I was raised an old country boy. We were poor. But we were taught to work. We were taught to earn our money. We were taught to pay our bills. Well, I'm going to throw it out there. This day and age, it was a shame and disgrace when I grew up if you didn't pay your bills. It was a shame and disgrace. It was a shame and disgrace. I had a sister. If she had ever got pregnant, God forbid. It was a shame and disgrace back then. What's so different today? What does God say about it? I'm not even going to use the word that He says about it. And this is the good Lord Almighty. But I'm amazed at us. And I'm going to say something else. If you'll notice, it says covetousness. In other words, you're looking what other people has, right? Or that you would like to have what happened. Now, there's nothing wrong with having things. I've always been, since I was raised poor, I always said I wanted to have something. I don't mind telling you. And when I had my business, I was goal-oriented. I could tell you how much it took an hour, how much money we needed, how much I had to pay out, and how much we made. Because I was interested in making money. After the good Lord got through with me, I still had a desire to work, but it was not my priority. I don't mind telling you. My priority was in church. My priority was getting in this book. I had a desire to get in this book, to study, burned in my soul. And I'm so thankful because that's what's helped me all these years of being a Christian. I've hit the floor so hard sometimes, I didn't think I was ever going to get up. But God, reached down, jerked my little hiney back up after He whooped me, dusted me off, told me to go right on. I don't mind telling you. Now, I'm going to say something that may offend some of you, and I hope I don't. Now, and let's just use children for an example. Why is it do we think that they got to have designer clothes? Yeah, coveredness. You know why? Because you think that everybody else is going to look down on them because they're not wearing the finest that they are. That's the main objective. But here's the other problem with that. How many hours does a family work this day and age, mother and daddy, to provide them designer clothes? And how often does it keep them out of church? And they're so tired, by the time Sunday gets here, they drag around. to provide. Now, God expects you to provide for your family. Don't get me wrong. God has blessed us so much. The flesh wants more and more and more and more. It will never be satisfied. And I'll tell you, I had a daughter. I had two daughters and one son. And one of them, I never will forget it. They done got up teenagers. And I had my business, and she wanted some designer jeans. And I said, well, how much are they? Now, you're going to laugh at this because this is kind of funny. She said, $40. I said, $40 for a pair of blue jeans? Now, it's like $100 today or more. I looked at her. I said, no. Well, no way I was going to pay $40 for a pair of blue jeans. But if they want a pair of blue jeans, she can go work. Now, that's the way I was raised, you see. There's a lot of difference in this. But we're going to have to move on because I'm not going to have time to get through all of this. All right. Next of all, as we look at this, these things that we have here, is people, as I done brought it out, is they're boasters, they're blasphemers, and I'm not going to give you all of the things I've wrote down. They're unthankful. Children are ungrateful to their parents this day and age. They don't thank their parents. They unholy, profane, all of these things that we have. Now, what is the difference between the last days today and it was, say, in Paul's day? Now, in Paul's day, there's false prophets, false teachers. They were violent. They were certain things that took place. But if you will study this, the difference between our day and age and their day and age is every one of these things is what we have. And if you'll look back, I never did find all of these things back in that day. You find some of these things, but you look at our day and age and see what you find. You're going to find every one of these. And this is what we have to deal with. And about out of time, I really wanted to go to Psalm 73. Let's just go there right quick. I'm going to take a little time just for a second. Now, this is Asaph. And this was amazing. He was upset, too, about how the wicked prosper and God's righteous suffered. He had a problem with that. But the first thing that Asaph said, it stuck with me when I read this. Truly, God is good. He's good to Israel, even to such that are of a pure heart. And it's just amazing how Asaph started off with that. Like a pure heart with Asaph here as we look at that. But also I want us to notice something else. He described a lot of things here. He described the behavior of the corrupt. He described the wicked. He described the suffering. And he described all of these things in this verse here. But go down to verse 16 and 17. Look what Asaph did. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went unto the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. What happens when we come in the sanctuary of God? We can be upset. We can be concerned. We can worry about our nation, all of these things. But where are we going? What do we have compared to what they have? God has been so good to you and me. And there's no way around it. Now I'm going to end, but I'm going to challenge y'all to something here. And I'm going to bring out some things, and it won't take but just a minute. And I hope you take it to heart. I really do. There's a used to be a little restaurant in Alabama out in a cow pasture. It was called Red's. Some of you know it. Some of you's been. Now, it took an hour to an hour and a half to get in this little restaurant. You had to wait that long. Now, on the menu, on the plate that you got in most cases, you had catfish, you had French fries, you had coleslaw, a pickle, and a slice of onion served on a paper plate out in a cow pasture. But you couldn't get in it. You couldn't even get in. Why? Why did people flock to this? Why did people go to that? The fish was excellent. That's what people raved about. It wasn't about the trimmings. Okay? Word of mouth. They never advertised. Never. Word of mouth made this little restaurant out in the middle of a cow pasture so famous they had people from everywhere to go to it. Now, how many of you advertise Liberty Baptist Church? All right, let's take Sunday school. Told you that's where my heart is. Okay? Now, you have preachers that teach here in Sunday school. You have a Sunday school director that teaches here. They are great teachers. Now, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about them. Okay? You got some of the best teachers anywhere around, but nobody, as I know of, says one thing about our Sunday school. Now, I'm going to challenge you for two things. I want you to ask God for a burden for Sunday school and the church. But I'm going to challenge you to invite somebody to Sunday school. Now, I'm not asking you to go outside this church to invite somebody. Yeah, I'm asking you. You sit by somebody on Sunday morning, when they come in on Sunday morning, that don't come to Sunday school. Why don't you get excited about it? They hear the Word of God. You're going to hear the Word of God. What's more important in somebody's life than hearing the Word of God? Why don't you get excited about it? What would happen if you did? Just that two little things. Get down, ask God for a burden, start praying. Cry out. One other thing. Don't ask for judgment. No. Pray for our country, but ask for mercy. Ask for grace. Ask for mercy and grace for our church. Ask God to move in a mighty way. Listen. Do you realize the opportunity that we have here to grow and to serve the Lord? Every one of you have that. A job, a responsibility, a burden. Tell people about it. How many people, even if you told three that you said by, you might get one of them. You don't know. You might get all three of them. Can't ever tell. Well, I want you to know I appreciate you listening to me. And I hope you've been able to see what God's